The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looked downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all of the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Here we are now in the midst of our, what we call in the liturgical cycle, the octave of Easter. For the next 8 days, a great celebration since the resurrection of the Lord on Sunday. Again, the beauty of Catholicism, we underscore and we focus on the pivotal events of our Lord's life. All the rest of the world, this Sunday is a single day, and then they move on to whatever next thing. Not us, we linger. It's almost like when you go wine tasting in Napa, you sip that $100 bottle of wine and you let it linger on your tongue for a little, you swish it around your mouth for a while, and you smell the aroma, and oh, you partake in that glorious cup of red wine. Same thing with Catholicism, we meditate on those pivotal events. Swish it around your mouth on the idea of our Lord's resurrection and what the implications of that means. Because watch this, look at these two readings today. How do we behave as Christians, knowing that our Lord lives, that He is truly risen, broken the chains of our death and of our slavery, knowing that our sin no longer has the final word, death no longer has power? How do we live it? Because watch the two examples of the readings. The disciples on the way to Emmaus. This is the sad Christian. This is the miserable Christian in the world that does not understand the implications of the resurrection. They are downcast, depressed. They've allowed the world to beat them down so much that they're just a sad mess. And the Lord, of course, is with them. And He finally, as He unravels the meaning and the beauty of the sacred scriptures, talks to them, and notice then how our Lord, when he slowly begins to reveal His presence with them, and when they finally understand, it says, were not our hearts burning within us? Now look at the first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles. That is a Christian who understands the power of the resurrection. Peter, did you notice? There's a beautiful detail here in the first reading. Peter at the temple area with John. It said that when they saw that poor man begging, Peter says, "Look at me." Now, isn't that striking, the boldness of Peter? Because remember during the Passion of our Lord, when he was ashamed of his sins, when he had betrayed the Lord, he said, "Don't look at me. I'm a sinful man. Get away from me. I'm disgusting and hideous." And then when the Lord's mercy is allowed to penetrate and change his life, look how bold he's become. "Look at me. What I give you, I don't have any alms, but I give you Jesus Christ, and in His name, rise and walk." The sheer boldness of Peter now walking through the temple area, unafraid of those same authorities. But those same people who crucified Jesus, they're still there walking around the temple area. Nothing has changed. There's Peter and John just, boom, walking in. What? You can do with me what he did to Jesus, my Lord? I'm not afraid. I give you Jesus Christ boldly. You see, that's the Christian who moves through the world facing the trials and tribulations, knowing that the Lord is present. And in that boldness of life, proclaim Him unafraid and lives out implications of this teaching. Joy, my friends, in the resurrection. And Mother Teresa, who went to the darkest corners of the world, who built the missionaries of charity, go to those dark, ugly places of humanity, and you bring Jesus there. The missionaries of charity number around 6,000 sisters and priests. And Mother Teresa told them, "Joy is a great net by which we can catch many fish." That's a Christian who lives out the resurrection.